somehow, somewhere, my husband, her stepdad, found some writing that she had done.
It's not some writing. He read my diary.
Vicky, it's your mother. No, you never call me. I mean, I wonder, is your finger broken?
Just don't tell my mother.
It's your mother.
Mother.
No, you never call me.
Just don't tell my mother. Just don't.
Where the hell are you? You are never home.
Hello, my family. I'm Nikki Levy, and welcome back to Don't Tell My Mother. I have a very special guest with me today. My mother! Hi, Mom!
Hi, Nikki. How you doing?
Mom, it's Pride Month. Happy Pride!
Thank you. I'm proud to be your mother.
Do you know about Pride Month?
Yes, I know about Pride Month. It means that the gay community...
And the whole LGBTQIA.
Well, that's what I thought it was, the whole... Mishpacha. Yes. Finally feels comfortable to display their gayness.
Yes.
To the world.
Mom, do you remember when I came out to you?
Which time?
I don't know. Which time do you remember?
A lot of times in junior high school when you told me that you were crying for so long because your best friend... sort of rejected you, not mentioning any names, of course.
You remember that?
And Nikki, I remember everything about you and your brother. Everything.
But that's weird that you brought that up, because I wasn't out to you then.
No, but you were displaying signs.
Oh my God, now I feel like I'm back in like eighth grade. Well, Mom, I asked in the last episode for people to call our Google phone number and tell me who their first queer crush was.
I can tell you who mine was.
Who was your first queer crush, Mom?
Somebody who lived in my building.
Was it your first queer crush or your first crush?
First queer crush.
Wait, Mom, who was your first queer crush?
A girl by the name of Janice.
Do you still talk to her?
I never spoke to her much before, and I never spoke to her afterwards.
Okay, hold on. I want to play this for you because I haven't heard it either. Hold on.
My first crush as a baby lesbian was Andy McDowell in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Just the curly hair does it for me. And the good thing is I married a Jew with the curliest hair ever.
That's adorable. Did you hear that, Mom? Andy McDowell.
She was absolutely adorable then.
She is so adorable. Well, Mom, to celebrate Pride, we have the first gay Real Housewife ever. She's from the show Real Housewives of Orange County. Her name is Bronwyn Wyndham Burke. Have you ever watched The Real Housewives?
I actually yesterday tuned into just a little smattering. I wasn't sure who was who. I just know there was a girl with blonde hair, very outspoken. Was that her?
Mom, they're all her. Okay. They're all that.
They're all that.
They're all that. Bronwyn is very cool because she's the first gay Real Housewife. You know, she came out as sober on the show. She came out as gay on the show. She has 7 children. And she is telling a story about coming out as a lesbian on a reality TV show.
Okay. Sounds good.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Nick.
Here is me and Bronwyn Wyndham Burke right after this.
Just don't tell my mother.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bronwyn!
Hi there.
Bronwyn, where are you coming from right now?
I am coming to you live from my bedroom. I came out of the closet into the bedroom.
How do you look this good every single time I see you?
Thank you. I do this for a living, so I've learned how to do it really quickly. So I only wash my hair once a week, but then I do like the fake hair washing. So it's done in 10 minutes. And my makeup, it's 5 minutes. I have it down.
I get the impression you learned early on how to put yourself together.
Okay, that is true. When I was in boarding school, I had a very similar setup to what I have right now. So I'm actually at my makeup table. So at boarding school, when everyone else was doing chemistry and biology, I turned my desk into a makeup mirror and I was doing all my MAC makeup. I was doing the teacher's makeup. So when everyone was studying for like college, I was getting ready and I would strut up and down my dorm hallway. Nowhere to go. 15. Just like, I'm feeling it. I've just been like this forever.
Well, you've got to teach me because of my many skills, makeup is definitely not one of them. But I get the impression from you that looking good has just always been really important. And I'm curious why. Like, what is that about?
I think that most of my validation was always from how I looked. I could get what I wanted. I could flirt my way out of it. I mean, I was not above flirting with my teachers in high school for a good grade. Like, I learned very quickly that I could get what I want a lot faster by using the external more than the internal. Not that that's good, because there's a definite backlash to that, but I learned very quickly.
So it's almost like I'm going to flaunt what I have. Like, I'm aware of my assets, but it takes, like, work. You can't just, like, roll out of bed.
No, it did take work. And it also took kind of, you know, you had to be smart enough to know what you had. So I remember once in high school, my girlfriend looked at me. We're really good friends. She's like, I just figured it out. She's like, you are so smart, but no one knows. And I'm like, I know. She's like, you're a genius. Because I realized if people expected very little from me, then I didn't have to do so much hard work. Wow. I was like, okay, let's keep the bar really low. And they'd be like, good job, honey. You showed up. And I was like, right.
So the pieces are definitely sliding into place for this question. But I just want to ask you, because I'm super fascinated. Bronwyn, how did you end up being on Real Housewives of Orange County?
Okay, so I wanted something like this. And I knew that. I knew that I had been a stay-at-home mom for a long time. I had seven kids.
Seven children.
I know, that's like crazy. But I also knew our family had something special. I knew our family had a lot of stories to tell.
Tell me about that.
I mean, I knew like we have this very creative artistic family. We have the dancer that struggles with mental health issues. We have the actor that, you know, is dealing with gender issues. Like, you know, Jakey doesn't identify as male or female right now. You know, Rowan struggles a lot. Then we have Bella, who's the most conservative child ever. And it's just a very interesting dynamic where, you know, we're all these kind of like quirky characters. We don't fit into the norm, but we love each other and we make it work. And we're all very open. You know, I raised my children to be very honest and open about they're crazy like that. Not to be, you know, to make light of it, but it was always like, what's your crazy? Because everyone has it. So
no, let's wave our freak flag.
So like you can spend your whole life pretending that you're normal, or you're just like, no, I'm not. Here's mine.
How boring.
And so, you know, we had this really interesting life and I knew that there was something special there. So,
and you were up for it.
That was just me being naive in retrospect. That was just...
Well, yeah, that show could be a viper's den. It's not an easy place. Were you afraid? Did you know what you were signing up for?
No, I wasn't. So I always said I was a huge fan of the shows because I watched Bravo. Yeah. I didn't know there was this whole other side to the shows, the backlash, the social media. I didn't realize how many of our viewers really think that they're watching... Like, they're just like invisible cameras in our home, like that they can't disconnect between the fact of us and us on the show. And they get mean. I mean, they were so cruel to me this year. I was not prepared for that. Like, not even junior high in Orange County can prepare you.
And
for the
junior
stuff
high
I just...
in Orange County is like not a walk in the park.
Right.
If you knew then what you know now, would you do it again?
Yes, but I would do it differently.
How?
I would have kept a lot more to myself.
Is there something specific you would keep inside or you would keep just with you?
Yeah, a lot of things. I would, yes. I would have kept that hot tub scene with Gina where I admitted to like threesomes when they were like, ew, horrible. I was like, never mind, totally straight.
Yes, oh yes, and we will come back to that.
Yeah, I'm learning that I share too much, that maybe I'm too real at times. And I need to keep a little more to myself.
Yeah.
Not everyone's ready for this amount of like raw honesty.
We get the choice to be really vulnerable, But then it's like we have to say, well, people are going to have all these opinions. And do I really want all of that shit coming back at me?
And I don't. I mean,
I don't blame you. Did you learn boundaries as a kid? I did not.
No.
Okay. Nope. I did not. Tell me about what it was like growing up, because I know you grew up in a trailer in Delaware. But then I also read that you grew up and heard that you grew up like, you know, going with your mom to bars on the Sunset Strip when she was performing in bands.
Right. So my parents, my biological father passed away. Okay. He lived in Delaware for my early childhood, and then he moved to Hawaii. So okay. I would stay with him at Eagle's Nest Trailer Park in Delaware.
Wow.
Like for summers and spring break. And then my mom was doing the rock star thing from the time I was like 3 until like 5. And when I was 4, we had a very traumatic thing happen. Someone close to her passed away. Okay. And she said, look, I can be a waitress trying to make it famous in 10 years, or I can be a doctor. So we moved to Orange County. She went to UCI and she went back to school.
She literally made the decision to go from rocker to doctor?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And for those of you who don't know your mom, Dr. Deb, from the show, describe your mom a little bit.
Well, my mom back then was totally different. She was going to med school. She had like the Rachel haircut. She wore St. John's suits.
Wow.
I mean, like, she was conservative. She did Mrs. Palm Springs pageant. She was totally different. It wasn't until they went to Burning Man, maybe 20 years ago or 18, ask her the exact year. Uh-huh. And then it was like, St. John's suits, multicolored dreadlocks.
Yeah, your mother has dreads. Your mother has dreads.
Yeah.
So you do not come from any kind of remotely traditional family life. Not even almost.
Not even a little. Nope.
Not even. Is there a part of you that wishes that you did?
I do remember looking at kids that had the two-parent households with the stay-at-home mom and the cookies and saying, that's what I want when I grow up. I've known exactly what I wanted since I was, I would say, in second or third grade. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom with a lot of kids.
Really?
I knew the house I was going to have. I knew the cars I wanted to drive, the vacations I wanted to take, the clubs I wanted to be a member of. I mean, I had it. I knew all of it. I knew exactly what I was going to have. When I was 27, I had it all. And I'll never forget driving home in my convertible, you know, sports car and crying, thinking, oh my God, I wanted all the wrong things. My neighbor had said something to me. We had newborns at the time. Jakey was like 2 months old and I had the girls and we had had babies within days of each other. And she's like, isn't this so exciting? We're going to be here and have photos of them when they go to prom. And I was like, oh, whoa, I am 27 and this is the rest of my life. And I, this kind of, and so that is when Sean and I kind of started going a little bit crazy.
Your husband, Sean.
Yeah. That's when we started going to Vegas and partying. That's when I started hooking up with girls again. Because I had when I was younger. But once I got married, I sort of had this idea of what being the perfect wife was. And I'm like, well, that's over now. Now you're a grown-up. Put that to the side. And I was like, okay, well, I'm bringing all that back.
Yeah, it's almost like a quarter-life crisis.
Yeah, first, totally. And it was like, I'm going to do all the things that I told myself you don't do when you're married with children. But I'm still going to do them because I am too young to be old yet.
Can you put that on a shirt and let me wear it?
Yes, I am too young to be old yet.
Say it loud and proud. And it is Pride Month, so you are here to share the gayest of stories. Let's do it, Bronwyn.
This is a story about how I came out on a reality TV show. Just don't tell my mother.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So my coming out story is, it's interesting because I came out in different levels. I came out to Sean very early on. He knew I was attracted to women. He knew that men weren't always my thing. He knew that. But that I loved him. You are my person. You are my soulmate. And for a while, that was kind of enough. We were procreating. We were trying to be the perfect idea of what married with, you know, small kids was. And then I started dating a woman.
How far into the marriage or the relationship?
This was in like 2007. So we've been married for 7 years. And it was sort of like a, you know, we were kind of dating someone together, but it was more me and her. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave us that space. Like, you know, he'd be like, okay, you do you. And it really wasn't that big of an issue. And it kind of was enough for a while.
It almost like satisfied the, like the urge.
Yeah. You know, it was like I was getting my fix, for lack of a better way. You know, it was like shooting a hot girl in my vein.
Oh my God. Okay. So when did this cross with the show?
Season 14, I went to the reunion and I was talking to my favorite producer the night before.
Okay.
Kind of preparing for it. And we were talking about the Tamra thing. He said, well, and he knew me very well. He probably knows me and the top five people that know me. And he's like, what was that? Was that a drunken mistake?
When you guys were like, we're hooking up.
Yeah. And yep. He's like, no. He's like, do you regret hooking up with women? I'm like, no, I regret that I didn't hook up with more. He's like, then own it. You know? And he's like, if that's your truth, you have to own that. He's like, you can say it was a drunken mistake, but if that's not your truth, don't say it. And he kind of gave me the confidence to be like, okay. So I went to that reunion and I said, look, I like women. I got kind of a shit for it, but not that much. And I was like, okay. Okay, cool. Like, wow, I didn't get the backlash I was expecting.
Yeah.
Yes. So then we go into quarantine and my life was falling apart. You know, I was trying to get sober. I fell in love with my best friend. My husband cheated on me. My daughter tried to kill herself. This was in the midst of a global pandemic where I'm trying to keep 8 kids, because we had an extra one, you know, safe, fed, whatever, and trying not to drink, which I don't want to minimize that, because trying not to drink was a full-time job for a while. Like, it was, I remember having to literally sit on my hands because I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Sometimes one day at a time, sometimes 1 second at a time.
Yeah. And I was there. So here I'm dealing with all this. I start to have feelings for my best friend. Sean sees this. He's being pushed out. We're not getting along well. Mm-hmm. He cheats on me. I kick him out of the house in like full housewife glory, throwing everything out.
And cameras are there.
No, this was just me being insane, because I was working a program, but it was still so new that I didn't have the tools yet. And then as a joke, but my really close friend at the time, my best friend Noella, set me up with a fake Tinder. She was in control of it. She predated these girls for me. And then she's like, okay, you have a date. And Chris shows up at my girlfriend's house.
Wow. Chris is the woman that you ended up dating. So Chris shows up having spoken to Noella. Was Noella acting as you?
Noella, she had talked to me. So Noella had turned it over to me. She's like, you'll love her.
Okay.
So we had talked beforehand. She shows up and I was just like, hi.
You're definitely not straight. I'm just saying it out loud. Yes, mm-hmm. Got it. Yep.
We're not dating anymore. So we aren't together anymore, but like, it was just because we were in two different places. There's, you know, I will always have such, she's just amazing. Like, she's just perfect. So, she shows up, we have an amazing day. And I call my friend and when I get back, I'm like, no, I'm not even a little bit straight. I am squiggly as fuck. And that was the first time I'd ever been with a woman sober.
No way.
Yes. And we were able to work through a lot of stuff. So I was able to tell Sean, this is how I feel. I like women. I have been trying to, you know, drink to get over this, shop, travel, whatever, social media, whatever addiction I can have. I have been tuning out. This is the first time I'm really in touch with who I am and what I want. I want to be with women. And I think at first, Sean was like, okay, whatever, this is a phase. I don't think he truly got it. He knew I was bisexual, but I think he was like, well, you're pissed at me. We'll see. And then, you know, Chris and I became more serious. And she was around and, you know, Sean at first had a hard time. He's like, okay. And then he got nicer with her. And then I was in LA. I was at the conservatory. We had gone out the night before. We were headed home. We had lunch. And TMZ got the photo of us.
Were you out to the show and to the media about dating women at that point?
No. And we were kissing, wow. You know, TMZ got a photo. It had to be that girl sent the photo.
Wow.
They gave me the courtesy because they don't out people.
I didn't know that. Okay.
They gave me the courtesy, said, hey, we have this photo. We're not going to run it. But not everyone has the same scruples as us. So I talked to like PR at Bravo and it was like, okay, we got to get ahead of this story because this is going to come out. And for me, I was like, you know what? I want it to come out on my terms because there is a definite salacious turn that female relationships take. So we reached out to Anthony Ramos at GLAAD and yes. said, hey, I have a story to tell. And he was like, he was amazing. He's like, absolutely. He did it with, you know, such grace and dignity. Even the beginning, I was shaking so hard. We had to go back and redo the beginning because I was so flustered because to say, I'm a lesbian.
What was the response?
A lot of what I thought it was going to be, you're doing this for storyline. It's not real. It's salacious. Your poor husband, your poor children. I get more your poor children than anything else. That's the reason your son wears heels. Look at the role model you're setting for him. You have a nice man at home. You should be grateful. You have a nice man at home. You should be grateful.
And how did you feel after you came out with Anthony through GLAAD? Because I watched it. Like, it was you guys together. It was 18-minute video where he basically gave you the runway to say, hey, I know you want to share something. Bronwyn, go ahead and share it.
Yeah. It felt good because now I could go out with Chris and hold her hand.
Yeah.
You know, now I could like kiss her in public, you know? It is so nice to be able to like check out a girl's ass when she's walking by in a bathing suit and like know that I can. Like, I'm not going to get judged for, you know? I'm like, yeah.
What's your type?
I do love more of the androgynous kind of Ruby Rose thing.
Yes, I'm saying that's Chris. That was Chris.
Yes.
Do you wish you came out earlier or do you feel like you came out at the right time?
I feel like I came out at the right time. And I know as a mom, I'm so glad I have every single child that I had. And so...
Interesting, right? Your life would look so different.
Yes. So I love my children so much that you can't, when you have, you know, children, you can't go back and say, I wish I had changed anything. Because if I had changed anything, I wouldn't have these amazing 7 people in my life. So
it's so interesting. When I first came out, late 90s, lesbian had a specific stereotype, right? It was like Ellen/gym teacher. Those were my choices. And by the way, I fit into none of that. And it made me really question, am I gay? What's going on?
Like you were saying, coming out in the 90s, I didn't wear flannel. I didn't have short hair. I didn't have anyone that I could like, well, I can't be gay because I like makeup.
And now people could look to you, right? And say, oh, wait, I like makeup. I like dressing up. Like, I like putting myself together. Like, I have a place in this community.
I really hope so. I truly hope that people can say, look, I identify with that. I want the white picket fence. I want the family. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. I want to have that life with a woman.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that you could have both. I didn't know growing up. I thought you had to choose. I hope little girls and, you know, teenagers are like, I can have whatever I want. I don't have to choose. I can like women and that's okay. I can still have the family and the picket fence or whatever.
Well, can I meet your mom? Can I meet the woman that I've seen on the show?
Absolutely.
All right, let's get your mother. Dr. Deb, where are you coming to us from?
My kitchen. I'm not as comfortable here at my desk paying bills, but hi, Bronwyn.
Hi.
Dr. Deb, I'm so glad you're here. Bronwyn and I are talking about her life pre-Real Housewives and her life now. Who do you think Bronwyn takes after? Is it more you or more her dad?
Well, you know, I didn't really get a chance to know her father very well. So I don't know. Maybe she gets it from, you know, I'm sure she gets some of it from me. But she's such an intelligent. She was a really smart kid.
And you're smart. You're a doctor, for God's sakes. Drucker turned doctor.
Yeah, I've had a pretty exciting, large life. Everything was new to me when I left Mississippi. And I was never under the impression that I couldn't do something. I never, ever felt that I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe because I was like a free range kid growing up.
Were you like that with Bronwyn too?
Yeah, it was super different. Because my mom had four kids and I only had the one, and I had big dreams. I wanted to go out in the world and experience everything. And with Bronwyn on my hip, we would fill up her milk bottle at the Whiskey A Go-Go where she was a lot.
Do you remember that, Bronwyn?
I did not too much because I was so young. I was like three, but I have, you know, memories, like little snippets.
She had a pretty interesting life for a three-year-old.
Dr. Deb, what was Bronwyn like as a teenager?
Oh, God. She would sneak out at night. She would hoard sugar. You were a sugar hoarder. Do you remember?
I wasn't, but yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, I mean, I would open your drawer and there would be all this candy. And I was like, you can't even have all this. Like a lot of smart, savvy, you know, teenagers. Hmm. She was just the life of the party and very popular and very cute.
Is that true, Bronwyn?
Looking back, that's how I would have described, like looking back. Yeah, I could see how you could describe me that. Obviously, now when I look back, I was also very insecure and not, you know, not comfortable in my own skin and, you know, trying to please, like, but yes, I could see how from an outsider's perspective, I was doing, I looked like that. I looked happy, carefree, fun, you know, living a dream.
From the outside, you were killing it.
Yeah, I was. I was killing it.
And she was killing us because she was telling me one thing and doing another, and we weren't, and her grades, she went from straight A honor student in the eighth grade to the school's calling me saying she's failing. And so when she started doing really poorly in school, we made a decision to send her to this really high-end academic excellence boarding school.
Wow.
And she got in. She tested in. And at the same time, she didn't want to go.
Because I was living the dream in Laguna with a hot boyfriend drinking all the time and having fun. I didn't want to go somewhere where I couldn't do anything I wanted to do.
So did you suddenly become like a picture-perfect honor roll student when you got to this boarding school?
Oh, no. I was still doing drugs and drinking and partying, and I was still the life of the party.
You were still...
You weren't supposed to be doing this.
Did you have any inkling that Bronwyn was gay when she was growing up?
So let me just preface this by
I was super slutty.
And I knew that because I had somehow, well, we'll get to that later, but I somehow, somewhere, my husband, her stepdad, found some writing that she had done.
No, it's not some writing. He read my diary. Okay. Let's not give him a pass.
Wait a minute.
My stepdad read my diary.
You stole his camera and lied about it.
I took his camera, and so he read my diary, but yes, so not some writing.
Anyway, let's get back.
What did he read in the diary, though?
I'm sure it was good. I was...
That she had taken lots of things.
Well, how did he know, though?
It was open. It was out there in her room because I, you know, he said she's lost privileges because, you know, she... Anyway, it was a lot of things. She had her car taken away because she didn't pay the tickets. It was like amassed thousands of dollars in violations, and we didn't know that either.
Ooh, and that goes back to being pretty. So I got pulled over. I didn't know you had to pay, like if you got a speeding ticket, I thought they'd take care of it, and they didn't. I got pulled over with an arrest warrant, and the police officer said, just go home, sweetie. You have a warrant out for your arrest, but you're a sweet girl. Wow. Go home and have your parents take care of it. I was like, thank you.
Oh my God, Bronwyn, I cannot even. Okay, Dr. Deb, let's get back to you not knowing she was gay.
So I'm from Mississippi. I never heard the word gay when I was being raised in the 50s and 60s. I didn't know there was that game and happy. You know, I had no idea that gays existed or that people, you know, were attracted to the other sex. I didn't understand that concept. So
yeah,
I didn't know about it, honestly. That's naive. I was extremely naive. And even when I got to Hollywood, I didn't really know about gay. So So it wouldn't have been something that would have come up in conversation with
Bronwyn. How did you come out to your mother when you came out to her?
I was on the side of the soccer field watching the kids play, and I knew the article was going to come out
with Chris.
Yeah. And so I just said, "Hey, Mom, I'm gay. Bye."
And it all made so much sense.
Like, that was literally it. That was like, it was like a 2-second phone call.
Yeah.
I knew she wasn't going to care. I knew she didn't care at all. Like, she embraces everyone for everything. So it wasn't a big deal, but it was like, oh, shoot. And it wasn't that I didn't tell her. I just kind of forgot, like, in the midst of everything. Oh, wait, I should probably give my family a heads up.
Dr. Deb, do you identify as straight?
Oh, yeah. When I came out to Hollywood, I tried everything. At least once, sometimes twice, you know, just like, did I like that? I don't think so. Or
yeah.
Did I like that? Maybe. But I would try everything. And I was super repressed Baptist. So.
Oh, Jesus. Literally.
Yeah.
Bronwyn, how does it feel to be out now to your family and like in general?
It feels pretty good. You know, like I still haven't had conversations. We were just talking the other day. I should probably have a conversation with my grandma. Like I still haven't talked about it with a lot of my family.
Yeah.
I probably should, but I'm kind of baby stepping it, especially with like my grandparents. I feel like they're so old that it's like, why bother?
Yeah.
How much longer
are they going to need to know this?
I will honestly say my mom, my dad, my brother, and my sister, I knew it would be like, okay, cool. What's for dinner? Like I really knew, you know, are you okay? Is Sean good? How are the kids?
Yes.
Everyone's good? Awesome. And I think you guys have seen Sean and I still show up as a family.
Yep. Whatever works, you know. Bronwyn, Dr. Deb, I'm so happy that you guys were here today joining me for Pride Month.
Yay!
I can't wait to see you guys again soon. Bronwyn, I want to take you up on the makeup thing. I'm not even joking around.
Okay.
If it's not one thing,
it's your mother!
Thanks for listening and happy Pride. Be sure to subscribe to Don't Tell My Mother on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you pot up and leave us a review. We love to hear from you. Don't forget, give us a ring at 213-290-0762 and tell us about your first queer crush. Remember, our moms know how to push our buttons because they're the ones who installed them.
Mwah! Don't Tell My Mother is created, hosted, and executive produced by Nikki Levy, my daughter. The show is executive produced by John Cryer. Oh my God, I love him. And Lisa Joyner and Jody Zuckerman Weiner at Discount Sushi. Our producer is Liza Glukhoft. Co-producer, Andrew Condon. Mixed and edited by Donovan Bullen. Theme song by Donovan Bullen and Joe McKenzie. Distributed by Acast. Now go call your mothers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.